You know, sometimes I feel like my mind becomes overwhelmed with the circumstances of this world, that things around me cause me to get in the flesh, and I start thinking things that I shouldn't think, and you know, I start feeling certain ways that I shouldn't feel, and I just feel that somehow my soul has got out of joint. I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one. You feel that your soul is out of joint. You even though you're functioning, even though you continue to go from place to place and do thing to thing, just in your spirit, you feel that your soul has been disjointed.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the first half of a thought-provoking message, What Do You Have When the Lord Is Your Shepherd? Have you ever thought about that? If God is your shepherd, what does that mean? What do you have? Well, stay tuned and you will find out what it means when the Lord is your shepherd, from Psalm 23.
And as we look at the 23rd Psalm this morning, we see that it reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." One of my favorite all-time preachers is a man that went home to be with the Lord many years ago, Dr. E.V. Hill. And I remember when I first started preaching, everything that he preached, every CD or tape that I could get a hold of by him, I would listen to it. And I remember he did a sermon one time. He had preached in Chicago, and he was telling people about their need to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And evidently there was a few atheists and non-believers in the crowd. And he said that after he got finished preaching, one of the ladies came up and began to tell him off from A to Z about, you know, why Christianity was not this and why it was not that. And then at the end of it, she said, and besides all that, you know, if I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, what would that mean anyways? And then E.V. Hill said he began to think. And out of that was birthed the sermon. And the title of the sermon, which is the one that he preached, "What Will I Have If I Have Jesus?" What will I have if I have Jesus? And he did that sermon in answer to that lady's question about, you know, after all you said, if I was to accept Jesus, what would I have anyways? And so I thought about that, and then when I was thinking about the 23rd Psalm, you know, I began to think in the same vein as Dr. E.V. Hill and think about, you know, when you see that the Lord is your shepherd, well, what do you have when the Lord is your shepherd? You know, what do you have when the Lord is your shepherd? As David looked back over his life, he marveled how that God watched over him. He marveled how that God had got him through many situations. One of the sermons that I'm going to do, I'm going to emphasize the superscriptions in the Psalms. You know, we've been in the Psalms for a couple months now, and I want to do something specifically with the superscriptions. And the superscriptions are those little titles before the Psalm that give us some background to the Psalm. In many of them, we see that David gives a little background to the Psalm. And do you know, most of the time in those superscriptions, you know what David was doing? He was thanking God for how he brought him through a situation. He was thanking God for how he brought him through dealing with his enemies.
And so David had to go through a lot. And I believe that as David went through his life, he began to marvel at how the Lord had taken care of him. He began to think about his times of running from Saul. He began to think about his son who rebelled against him. He began to think about all the enemies that came up against him. And David wanted to sit back and do something that would be reflective of that. And I believe he wanted to write a psalm that would be one of the most memorable that will last for time and eternity. And he put together the 23rd Psalm. One that compares how God takes care of his people as a shepherd takes care of his sheep. And as he began to think about this, you know, he put down, these are the things that you have when God is your shepherd. And so we want to talk about that this morning. But first I want to say, what are some reasons why we need a shepherd? Why do sheep need a shepherd? And the scripture is very clear as to why sheep need a shepherd. First of all, sheep are defenseless. What did Jesus say? He said, I send you out as sheep among the wolves. So sheep are defenseless. They cannot protect themselves. They cannot defend themselves. So they need a shepherd. And we need a shepherd because we are defenseless. We find ourselves in battles. We find ourselves dealing with stuff that had it not been for the Lord on our side, that we would have been under and buried under the situation and under the circumstances. So the Lord is our defender. And the psalmist, it says that he is a shield, a fortress. That means he defends us. We see that sheep are directionless. Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have what? Gone what? Astray. Sheep have no direction. And so they need a shepherd to give them direction. And so we pray the prayer, gentle shepherd, come and feed us. Gentle shepherd, come and lead us. For we need you to help us find our way. There is no other that we can turn to help us face another day. Gentle shepherd, come and lead us. We see that sheep are dependent, that they are dependent upon the shepherd, that he meets all of their needs, that he walks with them and provides for them in special ways. And so we see that sheep are dependent, but we don't want to claim this one. And that is, sheep are dumb. As a sheep before, or as a lamb before her shearer is what? Is dumb. And so sheep are dumb. You know, I think about how you can train every animal for the circus. Elephants, lions, tigers, bears. But you don't see sheep in the circus. Why? Because sheep are dumb. And so we are senseless. We have no wisdom, and we need a shepherd to help us figure things out. The world think they have things figured out, but in the end, they're going to find out how much they don't have things figured out. So thank God that we can have a shepherd that comes and helps us have wisdom. The next slide. Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, think about this. Jesus, as the good shepherd, what did he do? He died for the sheep. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And we see that anybody else is a hireling. That the world has a bunch of hirelings. And when the tough times come, the hirelings split. But Jesus says that I am the good shepherd, and I'll stay with you to the end, that I will die for you, and I will die with you. He is the good shepherd. Then we see that he is the great shepherd who rose for the sheep. The writer of Hebrews says that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. What did he do? He brought him from the dead. And who is he? The great shepherd of the sheep. He's the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And then I don't know about you, but this is what I'm looking for right here, the glorious shepherd who is coming for the sheep. We see in 1 Peter chapter 5, and the chief shepherd, when he shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory. Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd, and he's the glorious shepherd. But today in the 23rd Psalm, we're going to see that he is the gentle shepherd. And because of the gentle shepherd, we have a relationship with God. We have a relationship with the shepherd. We see in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, who gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Notice three things that he says about this relationship. I don't know about you, but I thank God that I'm a sheep. And I'm in a relationship with the shepherd. The first thing, we have a personal relationship. My sheep hear my voice. That this thing is personal. It's not somewhere out there. Even in the 23rd Psalm, David said, the Lord is what? My shepherd. That he looked around and saw Dagon, and he saw Balaam, and he saw Ashtaroth, and he saw all these false deities, and he saw people worshiping all these false deities. And David said that the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a personal relationship. Oh, I like this again. You're gonna have problems with me. You're gonna have problems with me today. If you don't believe in eternal security, because I believe in eternal security. And this is one of the main verses right here that teaches eternal security. I was on a television program one time, and I was the only one on there that believed in eternal security. Felt like the Lone Ranger. Felt like the Lone Ranger, but I tried to stand as tough as I could. And I went right back to this is one of the verses I went back to right here. We have a permanent relationship. I give them eternal life. We have a personal relationship. We have a permanent relationship. Oh, and I like this right here. I like this. We have a protected relationship. He said that no man can pluck them out of my Father's hands. And so we see here that we have a protected relationship. Now, what type of sheep does the 23rd Psalm address? Well, it addresses the scorched sheep. Sheep that have been out in the sun. Sheep that have been burned by the rays of the sun. Because he said what? He leads them to green pastures. It deals with the shattered sheep. That sheep who has gone through all types of hell and has been torn to pieces. He says what? He restores my soul. He deals with the straying sheep by doing what? Leading them back into the path of righteousness. Oh, he has a rod and a staff. And why does he have the rod and the staff? Because one reason is for comfort, but the other reason is for correction. That thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is for the stubborn sheep, to lead them back to the fold. And then the susceptible sheep, those sheep that are susceptible to all type of dangers. We don't have to worry because it says, thou art with me. So let's get into this 23rd Psalm this morning. The first thing that we see as we get into the 23rd Psalm is that we have divine provision. Divine provision. Now, if you'll notice here, and I just thought that this was amazing, and maybe I might have stretched it a little bit in some places too far, but I was just impressed with how the names of God line up with each one of these verses. And for some of them, it's a natural fit, and then for others, I kind of fit it in. But hopefully I didn't do any injustice to the text. But when we look at this, the first thing we see is that we have divine provision. And we see the Lord as what? What's one of the names of God? Jehovah Jireh. And what does that mean? He will provide. That God will provide. That we have, when you have the Lord as your shepherd, you have divine provision. David said, I've been young and I've been old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. If you are not having your needs met today, then you really need to go ask yourself, is the Lord my shepherd? And if you are a Christian and you say that the Lord is your shepherd and your needs are not being met, then you might need to go back and look at something, examine your life and see if something is amiss in your life, that there's divine provision when the Lord is your shepherd. Now look at your notes this morning, because we want to point out some things, and I see the Lord is calling, so we better make sure that we answer that phone. Jireh wants to meet somebody's need this morning. Amen. We see that it's a anointed provision, an anointed provision, and an abundant provision. First of all, look at here. It's an anointed provision that the Lord, who, Jehovah Jireh, takes care of you and takes care of all your needs, and that is an anointed care. That if you have a man, somebody watch this morning. If you have a man taking care of you, that's not anointed. That's not an anointed care. But if you've got God taking care of you, if you can, now man might be the intermediate that is providing in an intermediate way, but your direct source needs to go right back to God, and that's where your trust needs to come from. That you might get a paycheck from here, you might get a paycheck from there, but your direct source line needs to be right back to God. And when your direct source line is right back to God, you have an anointed care. The Lord is my shepherd. I've shared the story before. I know after 25 years, I have the privilege of being able to share the story, the same stories, the same time over and over again, right? 25 years, you run out a lot of illustrations, but let me just tell you again, because I always tell it with this one right here, and that is, I remember when my kids were growing up, Jonathan and Rachel, we took them in the 7-Eleven. I took them in there. My wife was sitting in the car waiting for us to come back, and I was in 7-Eleven, and I went in to get me one of them big drinks and big gulp. And I gave them each some money to buy some candy. And so they went in, they bought the candy, and they were gone back out to the car. I came up to the counter with my big drink in my hand, and the man told me how much the drink cost. And I said, well, you know, normally that's not what the drink, you're charging me a lot more than what this drink costs. I said, why is it so more this time? He said, well, there was a little boy in here, and when he came, he didn't have enough money. And he said, do you see that man over there? That's my dad, and when he comes, he'll pay the rest of it. And I just want to let you know that whenever I have a need, you see that God up there? You see that Heavenly Father up there? That if I come up short, I just want to let you know that he'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. Now, we saw God work in a miraculous way this week, and maybe at some point in time I'll share it with you, but some of you know what I'm talking about. We saw God, and I said, we just need to stop, and we need to pray, and didn't God show up and show out? We thank God because he is powerful. And sometimes, you know, I believe God puts us in situations where we have to exercise faith and where we have to realize that our source is nobody else but him. I think sometimes when we get to a place where we have a need, that God is just pushing us there because we can see that when we come to the place that we see that he's the only one that we have, we'll see that he's the only one that we need. And we'll trust him. And God pushes us to that place of trust. Divine provision. But notice we also have not only the anointed provision, we said we have an abundant provision, an abundant. Look what David said here. He said, I shall not want. I shall not want. Now, those of you, and we don't try to make Greek and Hebrew scholars in here. I try to break it down and explain to you what it means. But when we look at the Hebrew construction of this phrase, I shall not want, it actually means that I shall never begin to lack anything. That when God is your shepherd, that you will never begin to lack anything that he has for you. Anything that he sees fit that you need, that you'll never begin to lack. And you know, one of the things I think that maybe sometimes we come up short is because we're not faithful in our giving to God. But when we are faithful in our giving to him, that, you know, I believe that he opens up the doors of heaven and he provides for us in miraculous ways. I like the poem that I heard one time. There was a man, they fought him mad. The more he gave, the more he had. I like that. I like that. The world will think you crazy. Giving what? You give what? You give to who? And you give what? You giving to somebody you can't see? You giving to somebody that is out there in the air somewhere? I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, that's why we need faith. That when you have faith, you give to God. And I realize that when I give to God, I'm giving to him by faith. And that when God takes it, I don't give to get from him. I don't give. God is not some heavenly slot machine where I put money in and pull the handle and he's going to pour out a big jackpot. But when I'm faithful in my giving to him, he makes sure that I never begin to lack the things that I need. We see, first of all, that when the Lord is your shepherd, mark this, that when the Lord is your shepherd, you have divine provision. The second thing we see is when the Lord is your shepherd, you have divine peace. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. Look at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Don't you just see the picture of peace in that verse right there? First of all, there's a resting peace. There's a resting peace. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. In order for a sheep to lie down in comfort, there must be freedom from two things. First of all, there must be freedom from hunger. And secondly, there must be freedom from the enemy. That the shepherd, he makes sure that they're fed and he makes sure they're protected. He makes sure they're fed, makes sure they're protected. And when the sheep are fed and protected, then they can what? They can lie down in green pastures. That, do you realize that God wants you to be at peace? That there is the enemy of your soul, and he would love nothing more than to take your peace. And if you're sitting here today, and your soul is not at rest, your soul, there's no peace in your soul, could it be because the Lord is not your shepherd? That God, he feeds us, and he protects us. And because he does this, we can lay down. And just think of green pastures. I don't know about you, but you know, at this point in the game, you know, I got a lot going on the weekends, and sometimes I don't always get a chance to cut my grass like I want to. And in all this rain, you know, what happens that it begins to grow higher and higher. Now, probably another month or two from now, you know, when it stops raining as much, then it'll be bare. You know, I think some of you will say, oh, come on, man, are you crazy? You know, sometimes when it's not raining, I might let my grass go for a month without cutting it because it don't need it. But right now it needs it. And you know what? I don't know about you, but my grass is plush and it's thick. And when you cut it, you can smell the freshness of the grass. And it's just, I mean, if I was a sheep, I wouldn't want to be laying to the sand to lay down on the, when the sun is shining, to lay down on the hot sand. I wouldn't want to be led to a scorched ground. Man, that's inviting right there, boy. I tell you what, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And notice, not only is there this peaceful peace, but there's also what I call a rushing peace. What do you mean, rushing peace? See, what does the world do? Man, you know, we can get caught up, and we just get caught up in rushing. We rushing, we go here and we go there. As I heard somebody say, we rush to get up so we can rush to get into the bathroom, so that we can rush to eat our breakfast, so that we can rush to get to work, so that we can rush to get home, so that we can rush to eat dinner, so that we can rush to go to bed, so that we can rush to get up, and so that we can rush to go to the bathroom. And it's just that endless cycle where we rush, rush, rush. But what does God do? For the sheep, there's the rushing water. There's this water that rushes. The river, the water rushes. And the sheep will not drink from the river.
thank you for joining us today on the Anchoring in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of What Do You Have When the Lord Is Your Shepherd? If you would like to request a copy of today's message, What Do You Have When the Lord Is Your Shepherd? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request What Do You Have When the Lord Is Your Shepherd? Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, you can view or download more than 400 teachings that are posted there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It is through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.